my name is Salty, and I'm a motorcycle addict, and welcome to tonight's meeting of degenerates and a few honorable uncorrupted souls, but that is still up for debate, which would make this political. So let's get on with the 73rd episode on Moto Monday on this edition of Live at 5. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Get ready for this special episode. Thank you for tuning into tonight's show. We were taught to don't talk to strangers. Now we find ourselves doing that through the powers of the internet. But from within Badger Set, a different type of hole. That being said, in this off season, please remember those of us riders suffering through winter with PMS, park motorcycle syndrome. Our bikes suffer too. I'm still trying to convince my wife motorcycles are a good financial investment. So she didn't agree, but willing to trade one basket case for another, but maybe you'll have better luck with her than I do. Let's sit back and talk about motorcycles, the lifestyle. It's all about the adventure. Most of all, remember, chopping ain't easy, and if I wanted to ride something easy, I would have called your girlfriend. Further ado, tonight's special guest edition of Salty Badger's Chopper Talk Tales from the Road is coming to you live through StreamYard on YouTube from the Badger Set. Let's get on with tonight's show.
Salty Badger, arriving.
Tonight's special guest is backstage, and I don't want to keep him back there any longer, so we'll get start this evening off. Please welcome tonight's special guest, Chuck Garrick, a motorcycle enthusiast. I have conjured up some questions to ask him that then I will let him tell us a bit about himself and his journey on two wheels. Without further ado. Hey, Chuck, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I'm great, my friend. I'm great. Thanks for having me. I loved your intro. I love it. I love the idea of trying to convince my wife that it's sound investment.
Hey, I've been working at it, trying to make it right. I know you're a busy man. I don't want to hold you up a whole long time, and I really appreciate you coming on here.
Good. Yeah, I'm on tour right now with Alice Cooper. We're on a stopover in Atlanta, Georgia, on our way to Mobile, Alabama, for a short run this month of February. We'll be done mid-February.
Nice. So that's just awesome. Does that give you much time for motorcycles?
Gives me no time. Very little time, unfortunately. But, I'll make the best of it. This winter, I haven't had a chance to ride much. But, I'm going to have time here come March and April and make some time in June and hopefully make my way to Sturgis in August.
All right. That's awesome. So I got some questions I conjured up. I was going to ask you about. We'll go ahead and start with the first one here. When was your first memorable motorcycle experience?
It's a good question. I think it's going to be pretty recent. As I grew up riding dirt bikes and things like that, and have a lot of fun memories. But the one that is one of my favorite is, recently I built a bike from the ground up. I've always wanted to do that. So I started off with a 2003 Sportster. I figured it'd be a good way to start, get back into building again. And, I think the biggest joy I got was, tearing that whole bike apart and putting it all back together and hardtailing it and the whole thing and riding it down the road for the first time. I think I was just, overwhelmed with joy. And I think I might have yelled a couple of woo-hoos as it was rolling down the road the first time. It was very memorable. And the shakedown was real during that experience. I think I lost a few bolts along the way, but that's why they call it shakedown, man.
Yeah, it's definitely the shakedown part of the ride, getting all that stuff and all the pieces. They, riding hardtails and stuff, it shakes loose. If you forgot it, you'll figure it out that first ride.
Yeah, you know, it was great too because I realized one of my bolts fell out for the spacer, so I had to get right back on the lathe and make another one, and I had no problem doing it. You know,
that's awesome. So, who would you say is your biggest influence in regards to motorcycles?
Well, you know, I grew up. My dad, at an early age, him and his best friend, who's my godfather, Robert Bianchi, they grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, right in the Mission District. They both were, you know, as young teenagers in the 60s, trading bikes with all the bikers. And San Francisco was pretty cool place to be in those times if you were into motorcycles, you know, with the type of different MCs rolling around and just all the knowledge and everything. So I always looked up to my pops and to my my godfather Bianchi for their skills and their love for mechanics. I always thought that was very impressive, just how much they knew about so much. And obviously, a gentleman by the name of Eric Lund, who is at Graybeard's Motorcycle Service in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, he has become, you know, I like to call him a mentor. You know, he's really taught me a lot, and he is one of those guys that's just a wealth of knowledge. And we can, you know, we talk almost every day about motorcycles, and he loves sharing his knowledge with me. So I've been fortunate enough to have guys that had a real true understanding of it, and not just their opinion, but their actual knowledge and experience with how they came up with those opinions, which is something I think is important.
That's just awesome. And the fact that you're just right in there doing it, and you're just like the down to earth kind of guy on it. That's just completely behooves me on some of this, just how humble you are.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Yeah. That's, you know, part of my makeup. And I think I've always been somebody who's trying to learn, and I don't have much attitude except when I get on the stage, then I'm
right. You're definitely off stage. You're a complete different person. I've learned that. And the next one I had was, what was the first motorcycle that started it all off for you?
We had a couple of bikes. Well, when I was a kid, I remember my neighbors down the street. I grew up in Lake Tahoe, where it was a really small town, mountain town. And, you know, I had these neighbors down the street, and there's garage sale. And this kid had pieces of this mini bike that he was selling that actually had a raked front end on it. So it had this chopper front end on it that was in pieces. I think it had like a 5-horsepower lawnmower engine or whatever. But so as a real young kid, we put that thing back together and, you know, pull the cord and let it rip and ride up and down the block on that thing. It was really cool because back then, you know, there was more kids on our street and, you know, area. We were always riding, you know, dirt bikes, you know, BMX bikes and our little mini bikes around. So the cars were cool, and we would just be ripping up and down the street on that thing. You know, I had a lot of fun on that bike, and sort of a lot of the neighborhood friends, you know.
Right on. So the next one, you kind of already answered it. What was your first build, and did you have help with it? So.
Well, yeah, my first build from the ground up was, you know, I mean, I had this 2003 Sportster that I got, and I instantly knew I just wanted to dig into it. You know, I had, you know, I'd taken a lot of time off from riding motorcycles up to that point. So this was just a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, but I started riding again, and I realized that what was happening was, as I was riding, I realized that I didn't really know much about why things were working, how things were working, why is when I pull in the clutch handle, what's going on, and if something breaks, how can I fix it and get into it. So I bought the Sportster as a donor bike and had it probably 3 days. Reached out to Eric Lund from Graybeard's Motorcycle Service. He pretty much told me, he said he'd help me build it if I helped him in his shop. So, you know, I got the key from him, and I just was there the next day. I was sweeping his floors and helping him with whatever I possibly could do. I had the bike ripped apart and we just started digging into the engine and rebuilt the whole thing from the ground up, hardtailed it. Like I said, you know, he taught me about rebuilding the engine, and you know, we made sissy bars and taught me how to use the lathe. He taught me how to weld. He just showed me everything. And that was my first bike. And I look at it now, and I absolutely love it, because it runs so well. I know it's a Sportster, and that's what they're supposed to do. It's a very sound running bike, very reliable, and a lot of fun to ride. It's a ripper for sure. And I'm really proud of that bike, because that was what I wanted out of the motorcycle experiences, which was knowing how things are working and why and what to look for if something goes wrong. It just wasn't about taking the motorcycle apart. What I loved most was why we're taking these things apart and what we're looking for once we get these pieces apart. And I really, you know, had a lot of fun doing that, so much so that, you know, I'm already thinking about my next build.
There you go. Right on. That's what gets it. It's one of those things when you start building on motorcycles, it's kind of I call it an addiction, because it's there. Once it's in the blood, it's there.
Yeah, man, it was something I desperately needed at the time in my life, where, you know, I was just, you know, I've been on the road for 20 plus years and I love my job. Don't get me wrong, but I just felt like I wanted to do more. I always had a mechanical sense about me. I always loved working with my hands. You know, I was, you know, a young kid, I was a carpenter, and I always was just always working with my hands. I wasn't I didn't have a desk job or any of that kind of stuff. So I needed it. I needed it in a bad way. And it was a nice thing, because it kept me off my phone. It got me focused on a positive way of researching and learning. And it really was something I needed to just sort of get myself recentered.
So what would you say your personal best motorcycle experience of 2024 was?
You know, I gotta say, I love the fact that I was able to have my bike back in Nashville with me, my build, and I rode that thing in to the TMMR, the Tennessee Motorcycle Revival, and drove the camper and the truck there a couple of days before, parked it, and then came back, picked up my bike, and just had a great weekend with my friends there at TMMR, and rode all over the place. That to me, I felt like, was what I've always wanted to do with my motorcycle. I didn't want it to end. I wanted to just keep riding. Great. And it was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of people I know and that helped me with my build, and a lot of friends that I've made along the way. So it's those type of events and environment is another part of the culture and part of the build, I think, and part of the whole experience is getting to meet people, you know, through those times.
Yeah. So what would you say to the younger generation to inspire them to share our passion for motorcycles?
You know, I say to the younger generation with a passion for anything, whether it be music or motorcycles or whatever you have, arts. I did this to my daughter. I found at an early age with her. She would spend her alone time. I was a single dad with her, and her alone time was, she was constantly drawing. She loved to draw, or if I had her on the computer or whatever it was, computer programs, like Jumpstart programs for math and English and things like that. She loved learning, but I noticed she really had a knack for art. So I always encouraged, whether she knew it or not, but there was always pen and paper and those type of things available and ready available for her. And to this day at 29 years old, that's her career. So as a young kid myself, who loved music so well and wasn't good in school necessarily, but I sure had a passion for music, was I had a positive people around me that you know, pushed it, you know, and certainly didn't give it to me, made me earn it. But I just surrounded myself with like-minded people. I found my tribe, if you will. So I think with anything, if you're interested in something, what I've learned through this last experience was, you know, find your people, learn. There's so much information ready for us nowadays with the internet. There's nothing you can't investigate and learn about. And I find it that it's practice is about everything. If you're a musician, if you're an artist, and if you're a mechanic or a builder, you gotta practice. And our mistakes and our failures are actually those are the most important parts of anything. That's how you learn. You don't learn from not making a mistake. You don't learn from it being perfect all the time, you know. So I think just be passionate about it. Learn as much as you can about it. Don't just settle for one thing. I know I'm kind of just fuming out a bunch of stuff, but
no, you're fine.
And you love, you know, rock and roll. Well, you better learn the blues. And then when you learn the blues, you should learn some jazz riffs and, you know, just learn where things come from. It's really important, that you do that. I think that you just learning the history of like, you know, motorcycles, if you will, you know, it's all similar stuff, but it's a lot different at the same time, you know. I think it's important to learn as much as you can, especially as a young age, because as you get older, you know, you'll find that your career or your passion could actually turn into a career for you.
That's the way it is. That you, if you're good at something and you can grow on it, it's definitely good. And you can learn it from the internet, definitely these days with YouTube and everything.
That's how I did it, man. This old timer is sitting there looking at YouTube videos, just watching away, and loved every second of it. Cause I gotta be honest with you, the great thing about it was when I was learning how to disassemble my engine or what, you know, all of the stuff about that, when I was actually doing it, I felt like, well, there it is. That's what I saw. And that's a cool feeling to know, like, oh, I did all this research and now I'm actually physically touching these pieces. It was exciting. And I think that's what passion is, right? You know, I didn't want to stop for the night. I wanted to just keep going.
But yeah, I mean, you're very talented anyhow. And like, I can't learn the things you do as a profession, but off from the internet, I'm not talented like that. I tried.
Yeah, we fortunate enough, man, to be, like I said, I was surrounded by young kids my age that were good musicians. And we just would do it. Like, we didn't think about not doing it. If there was a party and they needed a band, we would just play as much as material as we knew, and then we would just go party. I mean, it wasn't thinking about it. We just were doing it. And then it was a very natural process for me. I never quite understood the fear behind any of that or the analyzing it so much. Just do it. Who cares? You know?
So
an asshole, everything will be fine.
Right.
It really will. It's just, people need to realize, man, leave the ego alone and just go have fun.
That's it. That's exactly it. That kind of leads me right into my next question, just that little bit of a conversation. So would you say that the chopper crowd is different than other communities?
I think it is. As far as I
motorcycle and how?
Yeah, I think the chopper community is different, but I also think that community of like-minded people is probably going to be the same in comparison. Notice right. That, like, you know, I play with Alice Cooper. There's a lot of people that love the same type of music. So you go to these festivals that we play, and you know, there's all types of different bands, but all sort of in the same genre. So there's these like-minded people that are just having as much fun with, say, you know, Kiss that they would with Alice Cooper, or Motley Crue as they will with Alice Cooper, or, you know, all of those people, all these bands that, you know, Airborne and all these bands that are still carrying that torch, they they find their community and they find those people that maybe have been listening to it for a long time or just now rediscovering it, but they have the same genre of the music still vibrates through them. And so that's where you need to find your people. And I find that in the Chopper community, where what I'm looking for and what I have found instantly was like-minded people that had a passion for motorcycles, but also were passionate about sharing their experiences with me as much as I was sharing my experiences with them. And I found it to be kind of funny because I was more interested in hearing about, you know, their motorcycle knowledge and their experiences. And I think they were kind of shocked by that because I think they were expecting, you know, me to be to talk about rock and roll. And that was like the last thing I wanted to talk about. You know, I wanted to dive in and learn from these guys and just have fun. And I've met some great people along the way. I really, truly have. I've been really lucky meeting some of the best in the business, in the Chopper community and, in the music community. But I do think that the Chopper community seems to be growing to me. It seems like these younger kids are getting into it and they're great builders, man. These are some really wonderful builds. I've had the honor to be able to like go to some of these California bike shows and then go to Mama Tried in the Midwest and traveling the world. I get to see these different builds, and there is a difference with each, you know, demographic and also just state and city you're in. There's just these little nuances that make it unique to how it is in that particular city. So I do think it's becoming more a little bit more popular, but again, I'm new to it, so I really don't know for a fact if that's true or not. It's just from what I see.
Yeah, I think you're definitely welcome there. Just from everybody that's met you and talks to you, as humble as you are, and that to me, that's what makes kind of the Chopper crowd the way they are. Is they're a very humble bunch of people. These builders, even the best builders out there, they'll talk to you and tell you what you're doing wrong. Yeah. And they'll tell you how to do it right too.
Yeah. I think it's been, you know, one of those things where you're putting yourself out there, obviously. Like, you know, when I first unveiled my bike at the Cycle Showcase in St. Louis, you know, one of the first guys that came up and introduced himself to me was Drew from Evolution. I know you did an interview with Drew, and I didn't know Drew, and I could just tell right away. I saw his bike immediately. I'm like going, oh my God, that bike is insane. You know, and you could tell like Drew's in it, you know, and he's passionate. But you know, what was cool about Drew was that he came over and he bent down and he starts looking at my bike and he was pointing out the things he thought was cool. And he just opopened up the conversation and we're still buddies. You know, we talk all the time, and I really appreciated that from him. And you know, Patrick from Lead Sled and Eric from, Graybeard's Motorcycle Service, Michael Lang, you know, Detroit, all these guys that are just, I'm on the road right now with Alice. We have Gilby Clark on guitar with us this year, and Gilby's an amazing builder and, you know, and writer. I think I'm bugging him a little too much, because all I want to do is talk about parts.
Right. Yeah. But you know, I seen a social media post that you had on about, you had Gene Simmons behind you, and you said you felt like you thought your teenage years were gone. But when I seen you at Cycle Showcase and I was loading the bike on the stage and you come walking by and I recognized you, I had that feeling. I was like, and I told my kids, I'm like, that's, you know who that was? So yeah. That's and then cool. You just turned out to be so humble. It was like, I couldn't believe it. So.
And that makes me happy. I'm glad, you know, I'm very proud to say that's who I am.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. So what are you working on anything for a follow-up build for last year's, or have you started anything or?
Yeah, I've started. Eric and I are, we've got a 72 shovel head that we're going to put together. We're going to collaborate with our buddies at Crispy Co. in California. I love what they're doing over there. We're going to collaborate with, you know, Prism Supply as well. And we've got a pretty cool little, you know, it's going to be a lot different, obviously, just being a shovel head versus the Sportster I had, which will be a big difference. I'm keeping it old school, kickstart, four speed. You know, it's going to be a really cool looking bike, and it'll be a nice bike for show, but it's going to be a rider. You know, I'm building this bike cause I want to ride it, you know? I don't expect, you know, any polishing going on or anything like that. I think it's going to be a really cool bike. We've got a lot of great things planned. I was talking to my godfather, who's now 80 years old and in San Francisco, and his garage is, you know, all of his old parts are in there and stuff. So I said, hey, you got anything that I can use that was on one of your bikes from the day? And so he sent me over his oil bag and
awesome.
Yeah. Some bits for the exhaust. I think they're like these kind of cocktail shaker, you know, mufflers that he had on there. So, which is exciting. I want to make it, that kind of stuff means a lot to me, having a piece of that kind of history, you know. I think that's what's going to be the most exciting about this bike. And, you know, I'm trying to do something different on this particular build. You know, I'm trying to do as much trade as I can, you know, and get, you know, time for time, or, you know, parts for parts and things like that, and just try to build that community together. And that's why I'm collaborating with some of these companies and things like that, because we're going to be working hand in hand with each other to help with the build and help them with their company. So I think that's what's going to be the coolest thing about it, is the bike will be community built with people I've met along the way.
Right. That's awesome. And, you know, you were talking about that, about the oil bag from your godfather. I still remember the fact that you were talking about how your build for Fuzzy Cole Showcase was about your dad, how that you found an old picture and stuff like that. And with my son and me being there, me teaching him and building it, that's what kind of stuck with my son too. And whole thing is,
that was a fun thing. I'm glad that kind of hit home for you guys, because that was my thing. I wanted to build, you know, my dad, the picture I had of my dad's bike was a knucklehead he built in the, you know, early 60s. And I, you know, of course I didn't have that particular bike, and we don't, you know, I don't have it anymore, but I wanted to, you know, the inspiration was there with the paint scheme he had on his tank, but, it was just a way for me. I'm a sentimental guy. I love the connection I still like the thought of being connected to my pops. And so with bike building and riding, I do feel that there's, for me anyway, it's just a nice way for me to remember him, and then reminisce about our times together. And building for me, writing for me, it's just an overall real positive experience. It's something that puts me in the right headspace, you know.
Nice. That's what would you say your personal damn I did this moment was?
I don't know if I've had one yet. I guess on a small scale of things. I mean, you're talking about somebody who had very little, you know, experience doing what I did. But, you know, for me, it was, you know, really using the lathe on my latest build, really making these collars and making spacers, just making the parts that I needed for my bike. I was really proud that I made these things that needed to go on my motorcycle instead of buying them. I was really proud. So that was sort of like a damn I did this moment.
I mean, building the motorcycle, putting things together, especially if it's something you haven't done. Even on my son's build that we did, I when watching my son do this, and I was like, damn, he just did it. You know, I just told him how to do it and he pulled it off.
Yeah, that's what I loved the most about it was, you know, we're going to need callers for that. And it's not like you're going to be able to go, you know, order them. They got to be specific size for this thing. And so we're going to get in there and make them and figure it out. And I really like that, you know.
Right on. Would you say the chopper scene is making a comeback?
I hope it is, man. I really do. I think it is. I think the chopper scene is, from what I've seen, it's definitely making a comeback. I think that lifestyle that is portrayed back in the 60s and 70s is very sought after. It's something that I, you know, I find myself reminiscing when watching those old movies or seeing old pictures. I still want that. I'd love to have that feeling, you know. It's glamorous, yeah. A little bit, obviously, but you know, they don't show you broken down on the side of the road for hours or having your buddy come pick you up, you know. But I think that lifestyle is definitely glamorized and pretty much what we're all after is just a good time, you know.
Yeah, that breaking down the side of the road on chopper, it's real. But if you always got the chopper guys that help you get it going, and yeah, if you work on them, you know how to fix it. It makes it part of the adventure and part of the fun.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
So last question I got is, what events might someone see you at this year?
Yeah, so I'll definitely be at Mama's Ride. That is one that I'll be here coming up this month in February. I'll be there for sure. Not sure if I'm going to make the Sons of Speed. It's on the docket. We'll see what happens there. And then Sturgis, first week of Sturgis, I'm planning on going there and tormenting Patrick over at Lead Sled, probably crashing in his van or whatever he's got for me.
Patrick's a great guy, man. We got some major parts for him from my son's bike. He was always there on the phone call to answer that phone call when I had a question too. He answered it, and the customer service that Patrick does is unbelievable. And the time that he takes and the parts that he produces are just unbelievable.
The guy's amazing. The guy's amazing. And, you know, yeah, look, man, I'm just looking to make more friends like Patrick and Alex over there at Crispy and you, of course, everybody I've met along the way. It's all been a wonderful experience and journey. I'm sure I'll cross paths with some people maybe that I'm not quite vibrating with, but that happens in all communities.
Right. So that's all I got for you tonight. I don't want to keep you a whole lot. I don't know. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and social media and stuff? If you don't, I understand you're a busy man.
And I'm Chuck Garrick. I play bass for Alice Cooper. I sing and play guitar for Bisto Blanco. And you can find me on Official Chuck Garrick on Instagram. And yeah, follow me. There's going to be a lot of stuff I'll be posting on this upcoming build for sure. I'm just out here making a lot of cool shit, a lot of cool music and cool motorcycles, and just having a good time while I'm here.
All right. Well, that's all I had. And for sure, check out the Bisto Blanco stuff. He's got the cool chopper in one of his videos, and the music that he's putting out is some pretty good stuff. And I mean, he's a very talented musician and a very talented builder from my part. So with that being said, I'm going to let you get back because I know you traveled all day to get where you're at. So I'm going to go ahead and move you out of here. I'll finish up the show. And thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much, man. And best of luck with this. You got a great thing going, and you take care of yourself, get in good health, okay?
All right. I'll probably see you down the road somewhere. So have a good day.
Looking forward to it, man. Take care, my bro.
All right, guys. I can assure you that if you're not following Chuck, you are missing out on not only an awesome content, but journeys in life. Please make sure and check out his content. If you like it, do all that fun stuff. Like, subscribe, follow it. Thank him for coming on the show tonight. If you see him out and about, or just send him something on the comment. Everyone, get out there and ride when you can.
Right away. So Sweepers, sweepers.